If the Christian would act on the principle of pure love, he would work no ill toward his neighbor, and if his love toward God were perfect, he would perfectly serve God. Love, therefore, is a standard which is higher than law, fulfilling the law, and accomplishing through the Spirit what the law could not do. John F. Walvoord. Welcome to day 20 of our Daniel fast. Today we are discussing religion gone bad, tossing out moldy legalism. As is the case with the topics we've been covering, there is no way to exhaust the subject today. We are simply going to address a core principle that helps us overcome legalism. I pray God draws us all closer to Him with this devotion today. Is Christianity a religion or a relationship? We have probably all heard the saying, Christianity is not a religion, it is a relationship. Although I agree with that saying to a point, it is a faulty statement. I propose that Christianity is not religion or relationship, rather it is both religion and relationship. Bonnie Christian, in an article she wrote in Relevant Magazine, says that rituals and organization play necessary roles in Christianity. She said, "We need some organization, and that's not a bad thing. Ritual and religious practice can damage relationship, of course, but they can also facilitate it." What is religion? Although we could consult a profuse amount of resources for a definition, I will go with the standard Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Merriam-Webster defines religion as the service and worship of God or the supernatural, commitment or devotion to religious faith or observance, a personal set or institutionalized system of religious beliefs, attitudes, and practices. Nothing in that definition sounds bad to me. It is only a problem if those things are exercised outside the context of a personal relationship with God. This is the context to Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees. Matthew 23 gives us the most scathing rebuke ever issued by Jesus to any individual or group of people. He scolds the Pharisees extensively for their religious practices, not because the practices were bad in themselves, but because the practices were observed in the wrong motive. Instead of being motivated out of a love for God and a love for others, they were motivated by pretense. They were actors in a play. They were putting on a show. That is religion without relationship. Notice the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. "Woe to you, self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you give a tenth, a tithe, of your mint and dill and cumin, focusing on minor matters, and have neglected the weightier, more important moral and spiritual provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the primary things you ought to have done without neglecting the others." Jesus did not say that their practices of tithing, praying, fasting, and other things were unnecessary. In fact, he said the opposite. He said these things you should have done. He cautions them that they should do these things with the motive of mercy, justice, and faithfulness. Loving God and loving others are the two commandments on which all the others are established. Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 23 that religion without relationship is hypocrisy, but he makes it equally clear that religious disciplines ought to be practiced. It is not religion or relationship, it is religion and relationship. Religion and relationship. I'm afraid that our generation has become so disenfranchised with organized religion, or any organized authority structure, for that matter, that we have thrown out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. In an attempt to reject ritual that is void of authentic relationship, we have swung too far in the other direction, and we are trying to have authentic relationship void of any organized structure, resulting in a relationship that lacks direction and commitment. Bonnie Christian writes, "One advantage to the modern-day wariness of organized religion is that Christians are more willing to be honest about the flaws of the church. Such humility and self-examination is valuable, but it can also be misused as an illegitimate excuse for avoiding church altogether. Yet we don't have to defend the indefensible in church history, or overlook stale and shallow church rituals to embrace the good and needful parts of organized expression of our faith. We can always examine better ways to organize church activities. We should try to plan activities that foster our relationship with God and fellow believers. We should always do our best to facilitate authentic connection and relationship. But just because some churches don't seek this, or at least they appear not to, we don't have to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Paul said we need to get together more often, not less. Additionally, because some place a disproportionate emphasis on the outward appearance of a Christian, some have championed the idea that it does not matter whatsoever. I would say this is a knee-jerk reaction that should be avoided as well. True religion, true relationship with Jesus, will transform us from the inside out. Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for only tending to the outside of the cup, their outward appearance, while neglecting the inside of the cup, their hearts. Remember, he said it was good to clean the outside of the cup, but not if we leave the inside dirty. Jesus wants us to allow him to clean the inside and the outside. He wants to transform our heart, as well as the way we look and the things we say and do. Again, it is not either or, it is both. Commitment cannot be a casual thing. I keep bringing up commitment because showing up for church, even showing up every Sunday, isn't the same as committing to a community. Commitment takes organized and intentional effort. It may feel loving to always be spontaneous and whimsical, but that is not sustainable. Although we must be prayerful and wise in organizing church activities, we cannot simply show up and be spontaneous. We do our best to structure and organize events and activities that enhance relationship with God and others. Of course, we always leave room for the Spirit to guide us and to lead us in a different direction, but we want to come with a plan that is well thought out and organized in our best efforts. One of the main reasons people avoid organized church is because it requires accountability. It requires that we don't just follow our selfish feelings or preferences. It demands that we sacrifice me for we. It necessitates that we exercise a certain amount of discipline, that we participate even when we don't necessarily feel like it. Just because we don't always feel like it, that doesn't mean our religious practice is hypocritical. When our motive is love for God and love for others, we are simply applying ourselves to a commitment that is greater than our selfish desires. R. Kent Hughes said it well. On the most elementary level, you do not have to go to church to be a Christian. You do not have to go home to be married either. But in both cases, if you don't, you will have a very poor relationship. In our day and age, there is certainly a trend of shunning organized religion. While this is certainly understandable and justified in the context of religious ritual that is void of a relationship with the one true living God, it does not nullify the need of authentic religion that is based in a personal relationship with Jesus. Don't let the false pretense of, quote, "Christianity is not religion, it is a relationship," quote, move you away from your commitment to loving God and loving others through Bible-based Christian community.